It just, we can take our faith for granted. We can take our devotions for granted, our spouse, our kids, that once we cried out to God for and was once so fertile. Could it be a marriage? Could it be a spouse? Could it be a job that we prayed for and now it's like, I hate this job. Oh God, give me a wife. Now, hey, old lady, God give us children. And then, well, whose kids are these? It's not my kids. We prayed for a church where you would be able to hear the word of God and start to understand it. And after a while, it's like, oh, whatever.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Do you remember the parable Jesus taught about the farmer planting his seeds? Some fell beside the road or on rocky places and became bird food. Some fell in the thorns, but others fell on good soil and brought a great harvest. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to take a different angle on the story. He'll show us just how that ground became rocky or thorny. Here he is with a message entitled, The Parable of the Plow.
Hey, let's take out our notes. We're going to be talking about the greatest life ever lived. We're going through the life of Christ, but we're going to ratchet all the way back to some of his earlier parables as we walk through his life over the next couple months. Now, this is the first parable that's recorded. We know it as a parable of the sower and the seed, but today I want to talk to you about the parable of the plow, because it really has to do with the plow. You see, in those days, you would have a city like this with gates. During the day, they would open the gates and people would go out to work the agricultural fields that would emanate off of that city, that walled city, rectangular pieces of sod that might be 6 or 8 acres each. They would work the fields and then come back into this walled city, and for protection, the gates would close. Now, around that city is the soil. It's all basically the same soil. But you're going to hear in this parable that there's going to be a varying amount of fruitfulness in this basically the same soil, but it's varied in its amount of fruitfulness. Why? Because the soil changes? Nope. Seed changes? Nope. The difference in the fruitfulness is determined by how yielded the dirt is to the plow. Where the plow will not reach, it will be less fruitful. Fruitfulness in this parable is going to be determined by how open and yielded a heart is to the plow of the Holy Spirit. Parables. Parables. Why did Jesus talk in parables? What is a parable? Well, a parable is laying one illustration or event next to another in hopes that one will explain the other more. It comes from a Greek word, parabolo. Balo means to throw. Para is alongside. So they put an earthly illustration here to explain a divine truth. And that's a parable. So there's a divine truth, but it's hidden behind the parable. Because here now is the duality or the dual purpose of a parable. Listen carefully. The parable is designed to yield up the truth gradually and gently. So only those with an open heart will be able to catch it. A parable is designed to reveal truth to the open-hearted, here it is, and actually conceal truth from the hard-hearted. If a person is hard-hearted, he'll say, what a stupid story. That's it. And the truth will not be revealed to him. But someone with an open heart, they'll press forward. They'll lean forward. See, a lot of times we have a defensive lean in our life because of the position or posture of our heart. Others that have an open heart have a forward lean in their life. Like, what does that mean? How does that connect to my life? And the parable is like a window through which people see a kingdom. And it filters out those who have a defensive lean from those who have a forward lean. And it is designed to reveal truth to the open-hearted and conceal truth to the hard-hearted. You say, Wayne, why would God conceal truth from the hard-hearted? Reason is God doesn't want to get your brain, your mind. He wants to change and transform your heart. And if your heart is hardened, and you receive truth, it will go into your mind, but you will never, never come to know God intellectually. God wants the transformation of a man's heart, and then everything starts to make sense. It doesn't start here and drop here. It starts here and transforms this, and it renews your mind, the Bible says. So it actually is designed to conceal truth from the defensive lean and to reveal it to the forward lean. That's how it is. A parable. It's a story with a truth hidden in it, an eternal truth. But he lets you get it. Because see, Jesus was a master teacher, and he knew that the best way to learn is self-discovery. How many of us, that's hot, don't put your finger there, I won't. Self-discovery. It's not the best way, but it works really well. So what he does is he takes parables and he allows you to self-discover in the midst of it. It's sort of like he gives you a story and stops just short of the ending, and then you figure it out. And he says, that's it. Yes, I got it. It's like the Lord asks you a question and lets you find the answer. And you self-discover and say, that's it, I got it, I got it. It's the way that God brings revelation to us, and it changes us forever. Sometimes it's just a smile when we get the answer. What do you think about? Well, is it this? Is it this? And then you can just sense him smile. It is that, isn't that, Lord? And what he does is he gets us thinking. Sometimes it's just in a smile. And you have to catch it. It's a parable. It's a truth hidden in it. Sort of like a guy comes to me, let's say, Pastor Wayne, my wife, she's pregnant. She's at the doctor's office in Ala Moana. She just called me. She said she's not feeling well, and she really needs me to come sit with her. What should I do? I said, well, is there any reason you can't go? Now watch, I won't tell him what to do. Is there any reason you can't go? Well, you know, I'm busy at home. I got plenty for doing, every kind of that, but. Okay, plus, I don't have a car. What should I do? There's a bus stopping right in front of your house in 5 minutes. Now, that person could look at me and go, what does a bus system have to do? I'm talking to you about my wife, not the bus system of the city and county of Honolulu. This is crazy. No, we're not connecting. Earth to Wayne, we're not connecting. And walked off. Then I think, he's not getting it. Now, there are some of those who did not understand the parables of Christ and would walk off because their heart wasn't inclined to do what he wanted them to do anyway. So they're looking for a way to blame it on him so they can have motivation, or at least the motive is more righteous, why I'm leaving, because he's crazy. But in reality, my heart was disinclined to do it in the first place. So to those, truth is hidden. So hence we have parables, and we have it here. In fact, even the disciples asked Jesus, why do you do it in parables? Listen to this, Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered and said, well, to you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, because your hearts are open. But to those it's not been granted. They get it only in parables. Now he says this, for whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. He said, what does that mean? Oh, okay, let me explain it. For whoever has an open heart, to him shall more be given, he shall have an abundance. But to him who does not have an open heart, to him, even what he has will be taken away. You understand? The duality, the two purposes of parables, was to disclose truth to the open-hearted and conceal it from the hard-hearted. Well, there's going to be times in our hearts that we'll be hard-hearted too. Well, how do you make it soft again? Well, let's talk about this parable and you'll see. I'm going to give you a parable. There's four parts of this first parable. And then later on, he gives explanation when the disciples come back around and they say, what does this mean? So we're going to see one portion of the parable. We'll give the explanation and then we'll give a prayer. All right? So let's read the first one together. It's at your, in the top of your notes. Let's read the first portion together. Go. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate them up. Now later on, the disciples say, would you explain this to us? Let's read the explanation. Go. When anyone hears the word and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Back to the bus stop. There's a bus coming in 5 minutes right in front of your house. What does a bus have to do with my wife and my problem? You're talking about the city and county transportation system. I'm talking about my wife. What is this? There's no connection. Well, and off he goes. The Bible says when someone hears the word and does not underline that, that's important. Because what that is the ones who don't understand were those who weren't able, here it is, listen, to make the connection between the claims of Christ and their own life. They couldn't make the connection between the claims of Christ and their own life. Maybe they were steeped in sin and refused to believe, or calloused, disinclined to follow Him anyway. But let's take a look at the path. Remember that citadel or that city with the opening gates and the rectangular pieces of agricultural acreage emanating out like a rays, bursts of rays going out from a city? When the people would go to work their field, it's basically all the same ground. Okay, get that? Same soil. But yet some will be fruitful and some parts not. Why? Well, let's take a look at what the path was. In order to get to the far portion of my acreage, I wouldn't walk through my property because that's where the vegetables or whatever would be growing. So people would walk along the boundaries of the fields, and that which is really the same ground as that, it's just that this people walked on because it was the boundary between the fields. And it became a common ground to all travelers. And just by stepping on it, just by reason of use, not sin, not being insidious or evil, just by reason of making something common. It's a common thoroughfare. It would tamp down the soil until it compresses the soil, and now it's impenetrable to seed. When seed would be thrown on it, because when the farmer would throw seed, of course some would go along this borderline here, but since it's the path, because it's been so tamped down, it's impenetrable. It lays there, it can't germinate. And then the Bible says the birds of the air would come and eat it up. It doesn't go into the furrows of the ground that the plow left behind to be covered over. So the birds of the air would eat it up. Now listen, this is the only part of the parable that Satan in the explanation, and the evil one comes and snatches away what was heard. This is the only one of the four types of soil here or areas of the ground. This is the only one where Satan is allowed to come in and steal something. It's those who don't understand. Listen carefully. If you refuse to connect what God is saying to your life, pretty soon you won't be understanding and you'll miss it. But here's something much more important for Christians. That pathway isn't bad soil. It's just soil that's become common. Can there be pathways in our life that's hardened ground? You better believe it. It's when the things of God that were once fertile, now just simply because of use, making it common or taking it for granted, after a while, that which we cried for, prayed for, now should it become common and taken for granted, that which could have been fruitful is no longer fruitful. That which God is trying to revive is not revived until the plow breaks it up and it can be planted again. Same soil, it's just by regular common use, it becomes unfruitful. Now listen carefully. Let me ask you this question. Are there areas in your life just by you making it common that it's no longer fruitful? Things that we have taken for granted that once we cried out to God for and was once so fertile. Could it be a marriage? Could it be a spouse? Could it be a job that we prayed for and now it's like, I hate this job. Oh God, give me a wife. Now, hey, old lady, things change. God, give us children. And then, well, whose kids are these? It's not my kids. We start to take things for granted. Could it be your faith? Maybe even your church. We prayed for a church where you would be able to hear the word of God and start to understand it. And after a while, it's like, oh, whatever. We'll go sometimes. It's just we can take our faith for granted. We can take our devotions for granted, our spouse, our kids, our health, our job. What are the areas of your life that was once such a gift to you, but now you take for granted? It's there that the devil will be able to steal from. And what could have been fruitful no longer is. You know, when that happens, and I realize that I'm taking something for granted that I shouldn't, I stop and say, Lord Jesus, would you drive the plow of your Holy Spirit right about here? Drive it through this area that I've taken for granted. And if you'll pray that way, that which would have been unfruitful or starting to become unfruitful can become fruitful again. Because it's really not the soil. It's how yielded are you to the plow of the Holy Spirit in that area of your life. So in your prayer, would you write it down there? That prayer, when you start to take something for granted that was once such a gift, stop. When the Lord reveals that to you, here's the prayer. Lord, would you drive the plow of your Holy Spirit through the areas of my life which I have, here it is, taken for granted. Write that in there. Taken for granted. And that has to take place again and again. You see, the plow of the Holy Spirit doesn't just run once and it's done. They run it through the ground again and again and again and again to keep it soft, pliable, shapeable. The first is the areas in my life that I've taken for granted. And then the master teacher continues and he says, I've got a second part of the parable. And he then speaks. Would you read it with me? Go. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The disciples came to him and said, what are you talking about? And Jesus explained it. Let's read it. Go. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. It was plenteous in Israel where they would have a limestone mountain. And they would have something called an outcropping, like a ledge, just under the soil. And it might go out for maybe 50 feet, 60 feet. It might just be a ledge, about 2 inches thick. But topsoil would be gathered on top of it after the years, but it'd only be about 3 inches, 4 inches deep. And if this were a ledge, when the plow would come, it would hit this and it would scrape along the rock. There's dirt underneath, but this outcropping here, it would scrape along and then, boom, they'd dig deep again. It'd come around and it'd scrape on this and then And after a while, if you just looked at the surface, you'd see the furrows all over the field, and you'd say it was completely plowed. But what you don't know in this section right here, for example, it's very shallow. There's only 3 inches of dirt. You can't tell it from the surface, but just under the surface, there's a hardness. So when it's given seed, and then the furrows, little dips in the soil, furrows are filled with seed and they cover it back over with rakes or whatever, all of the ground starts to produce the wheat or whatever they'd sown. But right where there was that shale or that rock that's 3 inches beneath the soil, what happens is the sun heats up the rock. The rock heats up the soil to a greater temperature so that the seed germinates more quickly than that which is in colder soil. It germinates very quickly. The sprout comes up. When the roots go down, it hits the rock. It spreads out. The sun comes down on a drier day, heats the rock. The rock actually burns the roots and fries the plant, and it withers. That's what he's talking about. Springs up quickly, but it withers as soon as the sun comes up. These are the people that hear the word of God, but other things that are just under the surface mess them up. Well, what could be that in our hearts? Well, at the surface, we all look the same. You can come to church and all looks just great, but some of us, just under the surface, we're barely hanging on. Now, it could be a ledge of stubbornness that I have in an area with a spouse, with a job, with an employer, whatever it might be, a friend or an associate. I'm just stubborn. So what happens is we come here and the plow of the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us, but he just kind of scrapes along that rock because I don't let him any deeper. It could be that I was bruised by somebody and I'm kind of healed up right now, but you know what I do in order for me not to be hurt anymore? I protect myself. So I don't love deeply anymore. I mean, I love, but I don't love deeply anymore because I don't want to be hurt again. So I've got a protective ledge there. When the Holy Spirit starts to plow, it hits that. I just don't let him go any deeper. I'm just too afraid of being hurt again. I don't want to be involved deeply. Oh, I'll be involved lightly, but not deeply anymore because I was just hurt. And I've got this protective ledge. So when the Holy Spirit plows, it looks like we're all fine on the surface. But just under the surface, we're barely making it. There's shallow areas in my life and in yours. Is that wrong? No, it's because we're human. But what's the remedy? The remedy is when God shows up these areas of your life, that your prayer is this, and would you write it in? Lord, would you run the plow of your spirit through the shallow places of my heart? You'll know what they are. A little stubborn when it comes to a situation with my wife or my kids or just that's who I am. That's how I am. It's destroying relationships summarily all along the way, but that's just that's how I am. Get used to it. Really? Really? See, we need the plow of the Holy Spirit to come and just pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, would you just drive your plow through the shallow places of my life? Because otherwise, you'll bear no fruit in that whole area. It'll look like ostensibly it's fruit to other people, but you know it's going to die right away. It's not happening. Well, when the Holy Spirit moves, it looks like everything's furrowed so nicely, but right under the surface, it's not going to happen. Until I ask the Holy Spirit to drive your plow deep and break up that shale, that piece of rock that sticks out, and break it up. Then when it's sown, even though there's pieces left, when the seed is sown, it can go around the rock to deeper soil. And the Lord asks the people, there are shallow places in your life, would you pray that prayer so that your fruitfulness can increase? And then remember, then I can reveal to you truth that'll give you a future and a hope.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled The Parable of the Plow by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.